Falce, and good afternoon and welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, bringing you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And half of my dream is coming true today, in as much as I'm almost in Ireland. We're going to be talking live and direct with Tony Cookson, and he is, if you will, the author and the proprietor of a website entitled The Anamkara Experience, and we'll be telling you about what that means and introducing you right now to Tony Cookson. And Tony, thank you so much for joining us. It's 11 o'clock at night in your part of the world, Falce, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Richard. Yes, it's 11 o'clock. Yes, I'm up past my bedtime now. I hope I don't fall asleep during the interview.
Well, I'll do my best.
Other people fall asleep.
Well, yeah? Well, I'll do my best to ask some real good questions. It'll keep you intrigued.
Yeah.
Now, I was actually not led to your website directly, but someone had mentioned to me the phrase Anamkara, so I started doing a Google search, and the next thing I knew, I was at your website, and you have what is called the Anamkara Experience. So I guess let's start from the beginning, and let's define for our listeners who are not familiar with Gaelic, as, by the way, Falce is welcome in Gaelic, or Irish, which is still taught in Ireland as the primary language, I'm so happy to hear. What is the definition of Anamkara?
Anamkara means, in English, it means soul friend. Anam, soul, and Kara, meaning friend. So an Anamkara was traditionally, there was a saint called Saint Brigid, one of the three saints of Ireland, along with a guy called St. Patrick and another guy called St. Columbkilld. But St. Brigid was a saint who said that anybody without an Anamkara was like a body without a head. That was her quote. Now, Anamkara was made more familiar by a most wonderful poet and writer who died recently, unfortunately, the wonderful John O'Donoghue. And he wrote a classic book, and I recommend everybody who is interested in soul friendship from a sort of a Celtic spirituality point of view to read it. I mean, I just have... I've had that book, and I just give it away. It's like sort of... When you love something, you give it away, and I give this book away anytime, and I go and buy another copy, and I will open it at random, and I'll walk down the lane, and it'll be my... When I first came back to Ireland, it was my constant companion. So Anamkara really means soul friendship, and it's really a different kind of friendship, and we'll probably talk more about that, you know, but that's an overview.
And you have a website called AnamkaraExperience.org where people they are invited to partake in the Anamkara Experience. And I would like to delve into that as we continue our program here. Tell me your story, New Paradigms for a New World. And I'm going to leave everybody hanging right there. We're going to find out what the Anamkara Experience is with our guest live from Ireland in the northwestern part of the Republic of Ireland. It's just south of the border. And we'll talk more about that as we continue. This is Tell Me Your Story. I am Richard Dugan with New Paradigms for a New World. Stay tuned.
If you're looking for a general contractor to hang a door or build your multi-million dollar facility, talk to Armstrong Associates that specializes in both residential and commercial construction. I'm Steve Cushman, president of the Santa Barbara Region Chamber of Commerce. We're proud that Armstrong Associates, a five-time Builder of the Year award winner, was recently named one of the 20 fastest growing companies in the Tri-Counties. Armstrong Associates provides a broad range of building, consulting, and construction services for simple to elaborate commercial and residential projects. They specialize in green building construction, and they excel at assisting architectural firms with timely, cost-efficient design and budget criteria, while working closely with clients, government agencies, and the general public to ensure quality from start to finish. Looking for a general contractor who is dedicated to exceeding desires and expectations? Contact Bill Shields at Armstrong Associates 569-6170 or armassoc.com.
Are you sad or angry about past events in your life? Would you like more joy, love, and peace? Hi, I'm Candy Hoff, healing practitioner and angel intuitive counselor. I'll inspire and help you find your inner strength to regain clarity and balance in your life. Book your transformational session in downtown Santa Barbara by phoning 831-277-3716 or visit my website, angelhealinghouse.com.
Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. Every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time, we stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com. That's Richard, D-U-G-A-N, richarddugan.com. There's a giant Listen Live link. You can't miss it. Up in the upper right-hand corner of the website, where we're able to stream all the way to Ireland and beyond. And our guest today is Tony Cookson, and he is the author of the website. I'll refer to you as the author, the creator, if you will, of the Anamkara, or actually it's AnamkaraExperience.org. That's A-N-A-M, Anam, then C-A-R-A, KaraExperience.org. And there's also a course that's involved in this where you can discover the path that returns you to your true home place. You can learn the meaning of what it is to feel called to adventure and the rewards of the journey. And you can find out the five stages involved in this journey called life. I didn't realize there were only five, Tony, but we'll find out a little more about that. Tell us how the website came to be that made this experience available to the rest of us around the world.
Well, I did two websites. I have two websites, and I started with one, and it was when I came back to Ireland. I wasn't sure what I was going to do, but I fell in love with writing, you know, and I started to write a lot, and I would write every day. And I would write about poetry, I would write about Irish song, I would write about the songs I would sing, because I used to be an amateur musician. Well, I'm still an amateur musician, but I used to sing in folk clubs in England, you know. And I got more interested in this story of the songs, particularly Irish songs, and although I loved the songs themselves, I really did like the stories behind them. And the more I went into them, the more beauty I found within the heritage that was behind them. And particularly it led me into the discovery of folk tales, and particularly the folk tales of the people called the Tuatha De Danann. I'll say that again, the Tuatha De Danann. Now, most everybody has heard about the movie or maybe seen the movie, and there's a wonderful movie, and it's actually a trilogy called Star Wars. And Star Wars is a movie produced, I think it was, can't remember the director of him. But anyway,
George Lucas
had a Star Wars, you know, and it was called The Battle of Moytura, right? And it really is, it's a story about the battle of dark and light. And all cultures have stories about the battle of the dark and the light. And in the battle of the dark and the light, there is the battle of Moytura. And the good guys are the Tuatha De Danann, right? And the bad guys are the Fomorians, right? So what happens is, unlike Star Wars, the bad guys win, and the Tuatha De Danann are driven underground, right? Now, the Tuatha De Danann is a translation. They are the beautiful people, right? So the metaphor is that we have, in our own way, driven beauty underground, right? And in fact, that's what we do with much of our lives. That's what the Anamkara experience is about. It's about the story that reminds you that beauty is not underground unless you constantly deny it, and that you can reclaim that beauty and you can bring it back into the light. And it, in Ireland, the beautiful people called the Tuatha Dé Danann were once called the Shining Ones, but they became what in Ireland is now is the Little People. And the Little People were once tall and beautiful. And they are a metaphor and a representation of your soul that has been driven underground by various ideas and various views and illusions that we all have about this world of space and time and form. So in a nutshell, the course on the Anamkara experience is an invitation to remember that extraordinary experience that is unique within yourself and that you were created by creation to express in this world of form. And if you forget it, then you miss your birthright. So in that sense, it's not a summary, but it's sort of a beginning part of why I wrote that site.
No, I was going to say some of the other elements of the experience and of the course are learning how to know how to hold the tensions of feeling uncertain and make it a part of the learning how to feel deeper, deeply creative. And of course, a lot of people are starting to get into that. I'm sure that in Ireland, just as here in the States and other parts of the world, people are starting to feel certain tensions due to the situations that that we're all sort of facing collectively. And it's time to sort of turn that around and say, okay, these aren't terrible times. The sky is not falling. These are times of opportunity, of creativity.
Yes. Yes, they are.
How do... go ahead.
Sorry, you were going to ask a question there?
I was going to ask you if you would share with us, how does one get started on this journey with the Anamkara experience? What are some of the first initial steps that one needs to take?
Well, you would... In the course I do is... The first step to do is to be aware of how your mind works, right? Now, if you were to sit, I don't know how many people are listening to this, have ever sat for 5 or 10 minutes, right, and simply decided that they would let their mind still, well, you'll find that very difficult to do in the beginning, you know? The other thing is that we have a bias toward the intellect, right? We think that because we know a lot more than we did many, even hundreds of years ago, that this is that the supreme instrument of a human creative process is the intellect. It isn't. The intellect is needed, and the intellect is not to be denied. And we have made wonderful progress through scientific investigation. However, we think that to be creative is to sort of switch around things that we know, whereas the Anamkara experience will invite you to be into a creative experience which is through a process of not knowing. Now, that sounds paradoxical, and it is. The new, when you have problems, right, what you often do is you cycle them round and round and round, and you're usually using your head, right? in order to sort of create a solution, right? But as Einstein said, you don't solve a problem with the same level of consciousness that you created it. So you have to go higher, right? The Amokkara experience invites you into a level of consciousness that is higher. And even when I say it's higher, I have to use the language that's available to me. In one sense, it's not higher because it's whole. It's difficult to say. But you have to begin. One of the fundamental things that I indicate in this course is the first thing you must really begin to do is trust the process. You were created by an extraordinary experience called creation. You were created out of an experience that is timeless, right? And in Ireland, we understand this timelessness probably as well as anyone. This timelessness, this timeless experience, it creates you and you can knows exactly what you need to do and knows exactly what your purpose is here and how to enjoy the dance of that purpose, right? However, you have to be able to feel that. You have to feel it through the body, and you have to translate that feeling into action. It becomes love in action. You have to trust the fact, you know, you might not know what it is, but it appears. It appears in synchronicities. It appears in little events that keep recurring and sort of waking you up, saying, well, is that a coincidence? And you listen to those, and then you begin to get comfortable with the fact that actually let life dance me rather than me have to fix it all. You know? And that trust begins to build. But it begins to build through faith in not knowing. You can go out and you can learn all sorts of skills, and I'm not against you going out and learning lots and lots of skills. But what you can't learn, in one sense, and it's a paradox, you have to relax into the creative process that knows exactly what it's doing through you. It knows exactly what it's doing through you. And when you relax into it, your feelings are not feelings of go-getting. They're relaxation. They're creative. They're joyful. They're expansive. And you will do one thing with them. You will give them away.
Mm-hmm.
And as you give them away, they come back to you. And you don't have to worry about how they're going to... One of the important things you understand is you're not to worry about how they arrive, because all that is about... That's your ego dictating how the universe wants to dance through you. What will arrive will be a surprise. And you will be delighted because you will be in the light.
Yes.
And you trust it.
There's a great quote from an author that I came to love many years ago. Og Mandino wrote in one of his books by one of his characters, said that love given out, if not reciprocated, does not return to you void. And I think that's a very profound thing, that it seems, like you've used the phrase a number of times, paradoxical, but the reality is it's true. And when you talk about being creative, I'm sitting here as you're sharing these images of working out in our area where we live, and specifically building a chicken run and all the different things for our chickens, which I tend to talk about quite a bit. I just have a great deal of fun, and it's not, as you say, as you've described, I have that same feeling, just being there in that time, in that space, in that moment, and even with our girls, as I like to call them, and just having a grand time, and it's extraordinary. I think one of the other elements of being creative, Tony, is in tapping into what it is that we're creative at. And I think the best example is if we go back to our childhoods, those of us who are in our adult years, looking back at the things that we as children loved to do. There was a wonderful public service announcement that used to air where it showed these children, a girl was playing with her dolls, or she was doing some other things, playing a nurse, or a boy who was building things with bricks or blocks, or out in the yard playing with his Tonka toys, digging in the dirt. And then they showed those same kids as adults, one working in the medical field, another working being a mother, working as a mother, another one as an architect, and another one working on a construction site with heavy equipment.
Yeah.
And those are the kinds of things that I guess we need to tap into as sort of our childhood experiences. Is that a fair assessment?
I think that's true, yeah. But we seem to be creating what I call, and I've heard called, time poverty. You know, we fill up our time and we don't take time to allow the creative to work through us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of our cultural drive to progress, you know? But what I say to everybody is, you need to take time, 10 minutes twice a day, right, to sit quietly in whatever way that manifests for you, without an agenda, and create an intention, right, that you will, which is your highest intention, and I'm not going to tell you what that is. For me, my intention is to be a servant to love. That's my intention, and I work with that every day, and I love working with it every day, you know, and it comes through in the writing. I put it into the stories. I sing it in the songs I sing, and it's interesting, as a child, I really should have been a rock singer in some way, you know. Maybe not a rock singer, a folk singer, you mm-hmm. know. Because I love folk song, and I love stories that say the folk song. But I didn't. I became an accountant, strangely enough. And then when I came back to Ireland, I became a storyteller.
Now, you said you were an accountant?
Yes.
Are you still doing that, or have you let that one go?
No, I'm not doing that.
So you're not counting anymore?
not in
that sense.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm focused on what I would call healing stories.
Mm-hmm.
I take the stories of my culture, right,
mm-hmm.
and I update them to heal the divisions in my culture and the divisions in myself. And in the hearts of people, well, all around the world, that would be my intention, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to have you, if you would, in just a few moments, share with us one of those stories of healing, because both Amrita and I are very familiar, of course, with obviously the tensions that you have there, right there in Ireland, between the North and mm-hmm. the South, if you will,
mm-hmm.
and that ongoing. Well, we'll just call it an ongoing tension that one day we hope will be released and set free and not bother us anymore. But before we do that, I want to let our listeners know that you're listening to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan. My guest is Tony Cookson, and he is the, if you will, proprietor of a website entitled AnamkaraExperience.org. That's AnamkaraExperience.org. You have an opportunity to basically do a lot of things. It will help you to accept the invitation to hear the voice that is always calling your name and knows you by heart. That kind of goes along the lines of a little phrase that I used to tell people, that there's a person you spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with, and you listen to maybe 5% of the time. And then there are others that you see maybe 5 minutes once a week, and you put more weight into what they say than the person that you spend the 24/7 with. Well, of course, that person is you, and you listen less to that person than those others, or the outside world. So this is an opportunity for you to do that. You can also find the mirror within that allows, that always affirms that you are the fairest of them all. I like that one. That was a wonderful little fairy tale kind of line there.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of now have you titles for these various stories, or you just you know them by heart? And do you? I'm curious because we had a storyteller on some months ago, and we talked a little bit about this as far as retelling the story and making sure that you told the story the same the first time as you did the 51st time.
No, I don't do that.
You don't do that.
I mean, no. I mean, I have to know the beginning and the ending, mm-hmm. and anything can happen in the middle. And that's the thing. I know. It's like we go back to this intention thing. I intend to. I have the intention that when I tell a story, that I share my heart, and that the story is really my story, but it's also your story, and in a sense that if I tell it, and it's not about me telling it, it's about the fact that, you know, I trust the process to begin it, and I might open it with a line, and I never go, and I end it in the same way. I tend to start it and I end it in the same way because I need those focus points, right? But at the end of the day, when I'm in front of an audience, right, of children or adults, right, it's like I'm not expecting them to be sitting there, certainly the children, passively, because, you know, their attention spans today is about 10 minutes. Stories I tell are probably about 20, and it's much more fun to get them engaged, mm-hmm. you know, because it's like they don't want somebody like me coming in and just being someone like some other person who's going to tell them what they need to know. It's not like that. It's like it's a hard thing, and I say, you know, and we usually start with a poem that inspires them, you know, or a funny line, you know. I often become my alter ego when I'm a storyteller, called Imogen the Beautiful, and they think, well, how do they say, well, you're not beautiful, sir, you're ugly, and things like that. So it's like, you know, so we get a bit of a banter going, you know, and I look at it, I give them a funny look when they think that I'm not beautiful, you see. But at the end of the story, you know, there's an invitation there that actually beauty is so much more than a skin deep, you know. And there are lots of beautiful-looking people out in the world, and let's celebrate that. But it's not just about a body form. There is so much beauty that we can radiate out from that knowing of your home place and of your relationship to that place, and that you share it. And particularly with children, when you share it with them, they get it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And wow, you know, it's a great privilege. But I don't know that when I start a story where it's going to go. What I try to do is include poetry in it. You know, it might be Yeats poetry, it might be a Mary Oliver poem, it might be a French poem. And there might be lines from a Bob Dylan song in it, or a Van Morrison song in it, or the Eagles song, you know, because those are the things I love. And, you know, particularly with audiences, they say, oh, that line, where's that line from, you know? And it perks their interest, but it's also usually a metaphor for some sense of heart connection, you know,
mm-hmm.
that I introduce.
And you have...
I'm talking about poetry, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and particularly I would love to introduce Rumi into it. I don't know if you know about Rumi. Rumi's my favorite.
And you have a certain level of competition as far as the modern world with iPods and all of those types of things, and that still has to be proliferating even there in Ireland as well.
Yeah, I mean, I plan. It's summer here, and I love to be out. I'm in carriage are close to the earth, and I live close to the earth, especially during the summer. But during the winter time, I'm a very prolific writer, and I'm also going to do podcasts, but I'm probably going to do 20 of those before I start. I would put it up on the web, because that would allow me to you know, sometimes I would, you know, I might be gone for a week doing storytelling, you know, and I don't want to miss it. You know what I mean? People, if people regularly listen to your show, then, you know, they want you to be there week in and week out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That, you know, and so I would put up a regular story, you know?
Mm-hmm. And folks can certainly hear some of these stories, or at least read some of them, by going to your website, AnamCarExperience.org, and get more information about you and about the experience, how to get involved, as well as partake in the course. And that course is available to you. You can go to AnamCarExperience.org, find out more. Tony, I'd like to have you, if you would. Now, you had mentioned that you usually start out your stories with a poem, and you had one picked out for us today. So what
yep.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to, for the next 5-10 minutes or so, I'm going to turn the floor over to you to share with us some thoughts and a story. This is Tony Cookson. He is with AnamCarExperience.org, and here he is for you here on Tell Me Your Story.
Folks, I'm going to read you a short poem by an American woman called Mary Oliver. Mary Oliver, for me, is a mystic, and her poems just simply open up my heart. And I'm going to read you one from a book called Soul Food, subtitled Nourishing Poems for Starved Minds. Now, I know that my mind starved, so I'm going to start. This is called From West Wind, and it has the number 2 after it. So, From the West Wind. You are young, so you know everything. You leap into the boat and begin rowing. But listen to me. Without fanfare, without embarrassment, without any doubt, I talk directly to your soul. Listen to me. Lift the oars from the water. Let your arms rest and your heart and your heart's little intelligence and listen to me. There is a life without love. It is not worth a bent penny or a scuffed shoe. It is not worth the body of a dead dog 9 days unburied. When you hear, a mile away and still out of sight, the churn of the water as it begins to swirl and roil, fretting around the sharp rocks. When you hear that unmistakable pounding, when you feel the mist on your mouth, and sense ahead the embattlement, the long falls plunging and steaming. Then low, low for your life toward it. Then low, low for your life toward it. That is from West Wind 2 by Mary Oliver. Now, there's a poem that's uncompromising about the heart's little intelligence and a life without love and what it's worth. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story, and I'm going to be aware of the fact that this, I have about 10 minutes. Imagine that you're sitting before an old storyteller, a shamashi, before a fire in an old cottage somewhere in the west of Ireland. You're going to cross a little threshold place, and time for a little while might change into a different way of being. They say that this is a story, just an old Irish story, and it's not for modern minds, not for people of intelligence. It might have been for people of old, but not for us. And there are those that say, this is your story. The story of the Tuatha De Danann, the beautiful people, the shining ones who live far off the west coast of Ireland, beyond time. And they get their name from the goddess Danann. They're called the children of the goddess Danann. And Danann is the one who is a gift giver, the one who gives unconditionally, and she is the one that gives her name to the word donation. The Tuatha De Danann lived in four islands, four magical islands. And they had four magic gifts. And then one day, no one knows why it is, that they decided that they would begin to own all the gifts that were given to them. And they became possessed by those gifts. And the first thing they claimed to own were the four directions. The north, the east, the west, and the south. And they gave it a name. They called it Muse. And they began to own more and more and more. And a strange thing happened that had never happened before, but that they began to feel differently. And they gave that a name, and it was called Fear. And they fell out of the circle of love into the circle of time. And deeper and deeper and deeper as they claimed things for themselves, time became a greater and greater burden. But not everyone of the Tuatha De Danann became obsessed with owning things. And they left the four islands, and they searched for a new land, and they came to a place that the poet Imogen, many years later, would give the name, the land of Erin. And there they burned their boats of silver and gold, and for 3 days and three nights the sun and the moon were hidden from the sky. And after the third day, the Fomorians, the dark ones, looked upon the Tuatha De Danann, the shining ones. And the Tuatha De Danann had not come empty-handed. They brought with them the magic gifts that are still alive in the land of Erin. And one of these is the cauldron of plenty. And they say that if you stand before this cauldron of plenty and your heart is open, then you will always be fed. Then there is the sword. And they say that if you take this sword and you cut, you can cut away all the illusion of separateness from love. And then there is the spear of light. And they say that if you throw this spear, and only certain people can throw it, and it hits you, it opens you up in places where the light enters and you are healed and made whole. And finally, the fourth gift of the Tuatha De Danann, the stone of destiny. And this is no small stone. It is a stone you can sit on, and if you get quiet enough, inside that stone is a voice that calls you to come home. They say that this is just an old Irish story. A story is not meant for people as intelligent as we. But there's a heart's intelligence, a little heart's intelligence. And if you listen to that heart's intelligence, then you can come home to a true home place that will set you free and give you an idea of, on this day, a day of independence, what it really, really does mean to be independent, and the paradox that you live, that you are so interdependent and so loved that you could never imagine how beautiful that is. And you become one of the shining ones. And there are those who sit before fires in old cottages in the west of Ireland, sitting in a time that is different from the time that most people know. And they will tell you that this isn't an old story. This is your story. This is your heart story. And that you are really one of the two Ard Danann, the shining ones. And all that you have to do is take a giant leap out of a giant sleep.
Tony Cookson. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that with us today.
Yeah.
You take the same tack that I do with this program. You have a beginning and an end figured out, but what happens in the middle, you let the universe kind of handle that.
Yeah, I do.
And that's a wonderful thing. It really is.
Yeah.
Now, if people want to find out more about you, of course, they can go to your website, anamkaraexperience.org, and they can, of course, take the invitation. They've been invited. It's there for them. They can take the course. You also have workshops available, correct?
Yes, I do, but only in Ireland, really.
Which, well, hey, you know what? Both my wife and I have met a number of people who want to go, and when we decided to go, it was like, look, we want to go, so we're going to make it happen, and we did, and we were able to go twice.
Yes,
I'm hoping for a third. I say third and final because I don't want to come back. I love the country so much. By the same token, I would love to make it our second home and travel back and forth. Nonetheless, the workshops are there in Ireland, but the invitation to the course is available to anybody around the world, correct?
Absolutely, yes. That's right. Yeah.
Just go to anamkaraexperience.org and you can sign up. And we're going to wrap up the program here in just a few moments. There's a wonderful little poem by Rumi that you have up on your website, which I think is wonderful. And it goes like this. You were born with potential. You were born with goodness and trust. You were born with ideals and dreams. You were born with wings. You were not meant for crawling, so don't. You have wings. Learn to use them and fly. And that's what we're going to hopefully give you information to do. Fly as we fly away for just a few moments here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. My guest, Tony Cookson, and the website once again, anamkaraexperience.org. There's more to come. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World.
The Shumash Casino Resort proudly presents the Golden Boys. Frankie Avalon, Fabian, and Bobby Rydell in concert Thursday, August 6th.
Turn me loose. Turn me loose, I say.
Three of the most popular teen idols of the 50s and 60s together in a fun-filled stroll down memory lane.
Whoa, wild one, I'm gonna tame you down.
The Golden Boys, live at the Shumash Casino Resort.
Come right now, cause I'm on the prowl.
Tickets are on sale now at the Shumash Casino box office or call 800-585-3737 or order online at shumashcasino.com.
make my wish come true.
Don't miss Frankie Avalon, Fabian, and Bobby Rydell. The Golden Boys, live August 6th at 8 p.m., only at the Shumash Casino Resort.
Are addictions ruining your life? Have you lost hope and long to discover help for a brighter tomorrow? Hi, I'm Candy Hoff, healing practitioner and angel intuitive counselor. I'll inspire and help you find your inner strength to regain clarity and balance in your life. Book your transformational session in downtown Santa Barbara by phoning 831-277-3716 or visit my website, angelhealinghouse.com.
Tell me your story. New paradigms for a new world. Giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. I'm Richard Dugan. My guest is Tony Cookson, and he has a website called AnamkaraExperience.org where you can accept the invitation, check out what he has to offer. And, you know, it's interesting, Tony, as I think about that phrase I just used, check out what he has to offer. Actually, it's not you that has anything to offer per se. It's actually you are providing the opportunity for them to get to know themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I've done writing of this course in one sense. I haven't done the writing because it's like it's... I do a little easing every week when I'm writing during the winter. And what I said is to people I write, you can usually tell when I've written it because it doesn't inspire the heart. You know, when it's written through me in one sense, it feels really joyful, you know. But when I struggle with it, it's like there's an element of self-centeredness in it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but I don't know when. You know, I don't know if you do writing yourself, Richard, but, you know, when you start with a blank page, you're never quite sure what's going to arrive. And that, in one sense, that's quite daunting, and the other times incredibly exciting, you know. So I don't get too worried about it, you know. I usually do, every morning I would do 4 pages, you know. That seems to be the way it flows. And, you know, but I usually would take a line from I do have a support in the sense I would take a line from a folk song or a Rumi poem or, as you told me the other day, I love writing articles about songs I love, and one of the songs I love is Hotel California by the Eagles, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I just love that story in that song. I would call that sort of would be a song that would invite you across a threshold, you know, because it's like a sort of you're going on a journey, you know.
Yeah.
And then of course you meet with this extraordinary woman, and she invites you across a threshold place into what is called the Hotel California. And then of course that's just a metaphor for what I would call the invitation from the timeless. You know, you're traveling on down a desert road, you know, the metaphor for your life without love, as Mary Oliver says, and then your head gets a bit dizzy.
Yes.
And you fall across this threshold place, and it's all very different. And you check in one time, and you never leave, and it's great in one sense.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we would encourage people to go to your website and see what you have to offer. Again, AnamkaraExperience.org. And before I let you go here this afternoon and head off, in your case, head off to get some sleep for the weekend.
It's not afternoon here.
No, it's not. It's almost midnight there. My final question to you for this broadcast, obviously, we know that you were an accountant, and certainly there are a lot of things that you could be doing, accounting one of them, but you're doing this. Why this? Why Anamkara? Why now?
Why now? I think it was like I had a I was sort of moving along in what would probably be called. I mean, I was self-employed as an accountant for 30 years, you know, and I would still be doing that, right? Had my sister Mary not died of cancer, which was 8 years ago, and you know, she was at the time 4 years older than me, and it sort of asked the question in me if I had four more years to live, which would mean I was 50 at the time she died and she was 54. So I said, if I had four more years to live, what would I be doing? Would I be doing accountancy? And the answer was no, I wouldn't. So then I asked, well, what would you do? I said, I would go back home and I would create what would be a buy some land and a little cottage, and I would create what would be called a Still Point Center, right? And that was my intention, except that it never turned out that way. I went down, it was like Alan took me and she shook me up. She says, you're not still enough, to, you know, you're not going to get a Still Point Center until you're still. And in one sense, like, I create a Still Point Center through the stories I tell, you know, and I love doing that, and the stories that I write, and the invitations that I write about and share with people. And in a sense, like, I never knew I would become a storyteller. I had no idea. If you told me that I would end up becoming a storyteller and a writer on a website and writing courses and doing workshops, I would say, no, that's not me. No, that's not my intention. Mm. But in one sense, it's like, certain things happened the first week I was here, and it was all around an invitation from the poetry of Yeats and the poetry of Rumi, and I'm still following that invitation.
Well, we want to thank you for sharing that invitation with us here on Tell Me Your Story and your time, especially in these late hours there in Ireland, and we hope one day to be coming to visit you and maybe doing the program live from your hometown. And again, thank you so much for joining us.
That would be lovely.
Stay on
thank
the line. I say again.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much once again. Stay on the line. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. My guest today has been Tony Cookson, and he is with AnamkaraExperience.org. We encourage you to check it out. I say to Tony, and I say to you, Slán gafáil, which in Gaelic is goodbye, until later. And until this time next Saturday here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices, love to Lal. Have a great 4th of July.